We're CJMQ, and today we're talking with Anna Mae Kinney. And today we're going to be talking about fluoride, the ongoing debate. So welcome, Anna Mae.
Good morning.
Good. Now, fluoride, you want to start with the history of it?
Yeah, I was thinking that we'd start with the basics. First of all, people think of fluoride, and they think that it's an element on its own. That's a regular one that you find in naturally here and there. But fluoride doesn't really exist. The word fluoride doesn't exist in any of the handbooks on elements. Like there's a pharmaceutical, what they call a Bible, called the Mark Index.
Okay.
And in the Mark Index, the only thing they have listed is the gas called fluorine. Okay, so in a natural state, it's fluorine gas.
Okay.
And this gas is used in various industries, especially aluminum, and in the nuclear industry. So if you go back to the time of the Second World War, there a lot of things were being made from aluminum. At that time, it was a very fast-moving production industry, pots, pans, everything, you know, not just aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And there was a lot bigger market for aluminum products then than there is now.
There was, yeah.
And then you had the atomic bomb era.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was a byproduct. And what happens is when you use this gas, you get the toxic byproduct for fluoride. And then they had to dispose of it. Okay, now we're getting on to what happened after that. There was an awful lot of fluoride byproduct. And the government at the time did not know how to get rid of this fluoride. And this isn't my words or somebody else's words or speculation. Because of the Freedom of Information Act in the United States, these secret classified documents have been from the Second World War have been released, and they're at public access now. And in these documents, it tells how the World War II, the Manhattan Project, that's the U.S. military group that built the atomic bomb, if you don't know, had the fluoride as the key chemical that they produced. It was a key chemical used in the production of the atomic bomb. So they had to make the fluoride, then they had to use it to make the atomic bomb. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it becomes an even more dangerous byproduct after that. Anyway, all this was released, and the atomic bomb industry was facing sort of a dilemma at that time, and this is in the papers, that they didn't really know what they were going to do, because if people got sick from the fluoride and started to complain, they would be sued. So they set a group of atomic energy scientists out to prove and get evidence that this product was really good for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they declared it was good. And people used it in small amounts. And thus, we got the dumping of fluoride in our water. That's when it started.
Okay.
Well, you know, also, they did some testing.
Mm-hmm.
And with the excuse that they used for all this was national security. I think we're hearing the same thing now since 9/11, that why our rights are being taken away, why we're being searched going through airports, and why this thing is going on and that thing and so on, is because of national security, hey?
That's
and
right.
We have to all think about national security. Well, at the time, they were in the middle of the Second World War, and that was a high priority. And they did this testing for fluoride at the University of Rochester, which happens to be the site of one of the most notorious human radiation experiments of the Cold War, unsuspecting hospital patients were injected with toxic doses of radioactive plutonium. Now, this was all released in the same declassification. So, I mean, when you think about that and you wonder, well, you know, how good did they really test this stuff out if they were willing to do the other, you know, for national security? You never know, right? So it just kind of makes you think and wonder what's going on. During the First World War, we go back a little bit further, they used a fluorine-type mustard gas. It was widely used.
Okay, a fluorine-type mustard gas. Yeah. Okay, there was fluoride in that. Okay.
Yeah, it was fluorine. It's fluorine. The fluorine gas,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they used it for. I mean, so it was considered a chemical weapon.
Okay.
Okay. Then in the Nazi era, they used it to sterilize inmates and make them docile.
Mm-hmm.
Fluoride is a key dumbing down ingredient of Prozac and sarin nerve gas, both poisons. So, I mean, I'm just going to give you a brief history, and that's it here. Then you go do your own research. I just think that people really should take the time and look at both sides. I mean, don't just look at what I'm saying, because I'm no expert, but go to a search engine or a library and look up fluoride and see what you can find out, and put different things in the search engine, pros, cons, and so on, and you'd be surprised at what you're going to get.
Okay. So just to recap, I read somewhere that the fluorine is natural in some rocks and soil and in the earth. Okay. So then we have the making of the atomic bomb, and that's when the fluoride, the actual chemical, comes into
That's when the fluoride takes place, is when they use it for aluminum production,
right,
and for atomic bomb production. Then they wound up with hundreds of tons of this stuff, and they couldn't unload it anywhere. I mean, there's all kinds of papers, letters, and notes, and everything that have been declassified. And they were in a tizzy what to do with this stuff. So, I mean, it's all there for anybody to read. They just have to go and search it out.
Okay. So what they had to find a place to dump unload
it.
This stuff.
Well, they also had to not just dump it. If they would have dumped it, it would have been hazardous waste.
Right.
But by changing its category to something that people needed, then they had a place to get rid of it in our drinking water,
mm-hmm.
which is really makes my skin crawl. But it doesn't make my skin crawl right now. I have been into this part of my research on fluoride for like 14 years.
Okay.
And when I first read that part after the declassification, I was furious. But since then, I've calmed down a lot since, hey?
Mm-hmm.
But it is infuriating.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And there is natural fluorine in gas that is in different locations of the soil in different parts of the world.
Okay.
And there was one big incident in the late 1940s, early 50s in Idaho, where a whole city of people were getting brittle bones. Their teeth were so chalky that they were breaking. And they were marked and scratches on them, and people were really getting sick from this stuff. They caused kidney problems, thyroid problems, and same thing happened in South Africa. And a new friend of mine who's really active in this anti-fluoride movement, her uncle-in-law, who was a scientist there, researcher, he spent his whole life fighting fluoride, DDT, and other types of hazards. And he did a lot of research in the effects it has on your thyroid gland. Somebody has just recently criticized my fluoride article in the paper. So I tell you, you know, either go and read the paper and take some of my links and read them. This one place that I'm talking about here, let's just give you a second. It's called fluoridealert.org. It's a wonderful place, and there is loads of information on this site. It's called the Fluoride Action Network,
okay.
And they go by the initials F N. And I wrote about this group, and I thought, well, they're pretty big. But after the criticism I got the other day, I went back and went through their database there and found out just how huge they are. They're totally worldwide. They got groups in so many countries, and I mean lots of different branches of this group. And their list of professionals that are backing this up is a mile long. I mean, you got people in the dentist industry, the PhDs, doctors. You got scientists, editors, and publishers, and Friends of the Earth. You got environmentalists. You got hundreds of people around the world that really know what they're talking about, but really educated people that know this inside out, that are fighting around the world to eliminate fluoride from the drinking water. So it's not some small little thing that's just happening in Gatineau, Quebec. It's something that's happening on quite a large scale. I listed like 9 cities in Canada that have just stopped using fluoride. They had been using it, and they had to go through, some of them had to go through years of fight to stop using it. Now, for anybody who's questioning what I'm saying, think about this. Why would a group of people fight for 5, 7, 8 years, go to court, spend money, and all this stuff if there wasn't the evidence to back up the dangers of using fluoride? You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah. So we have 9 cities in Canada.
Well, the ones I listed, yeah.
Okay, so 9.
In my article, there's, I got them right here. Just give me a second.
Okay, so essentially, though, there's 9 cities in Canada that were using fluoride in the water, and they've stopped. So it is possible to reverse that if a city is using fluoride.
Oh, there's a possible of reversing it, but it's better to stop it before it begins.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Because right now there's a large movement, a worldwide movement, to get every city to use fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
And in Quebec, they are pushing it so hard that they're even willing to pay for it so that way everybody gets it in their water. Now, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, the cost of putting it in millions of gallons of water and having it go into every house. Now, stop to think what you use your water for.
Everything.
You're washing your car, you're washing your clothes, you're washing mm-hmm. your dishes, you're washing your hands, you're flushing the toilet. I mean, wouldn't it be easier to let the people who want fluoride in their drinking water to have free access to fluoride tablets or fluoride drops and just pick up their supply once a month at the pharmacy, take it home, put it in their water, and use it?
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody who doesn't want it doesn't have to have it.
The reason for putting it in the water is to strengthen the teeth, and that's it, right?
Well, yeah, and there's only a small window of, even the experts say that after a certain age it doesn't do you any good for your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's proof that it, I mean, not from me there isn't, but from what I'm reading there is, there's proof that it causes brittle bones in people that are older. So, I mean, and it's not good for the kidneys, and anybody who has even the slightest risk of kidney disease, especially in the States, a lot of black people are getting together and suing cities that are putting this in their water because they're at higher risk of kidney disease.
Okay.
And as a race, they're at a bit higher risk. And the newest evidence is that the Dental Association first released it. Okay. It was November 9th, 2006, the American Dental Association issued an alert advising parents to avoid using water with added fluoride when mixing infant formula. After that, the American Academy of Pediatricians also came up with just about the same recommendations that supplementary fluoride should not be provided during the first 6 months of life. Now, if it was so good and they gave it to babies all these years, why are they coming down on it? Well, apparently there's report that the enamel phosphoruses That's a discoloration, and it causes teeth to get chalky and so on, make white lines and streaks and so on. Sometimes the teeth are totally ruined.
Okay.
And this is the permanent teeth that grow in after the baby teeth fall out sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it does have a very bad lasting effect. They say they downplay it on the American Dental Association's website a bit, but there's pictures all over on the internet of children with this type of condition in their teeth because of early fluoridation. Now, there's other they also recommend here that the best thing you could do to avoid fluoridated water, I mean, you've got fluoridated water at home, what are you supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
Well, they're saying breastfeed, of course. Breastfeed is the best, but we know that most people don't do that nowadays, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm all for breastfeeding, and I say that's the best way to go because the kids get immunization through the breast milk from different diseases, too, right?
Right.
And it's the best way to go. But, like we said, they don't always do that. And for cities who really want to fight this, legalities, there's one thing that can be done. And I want them to hear me because this might be a way out. If your city is fluoridating the water and you know 3-4 people that have small children that have to buy their water because that is the next recommendation by the American Dental Association and pediatricians that you should buy water to mix your baby formula with. Okay?
Right.
Now think about that for a minute.
Why should people have to buy water?
Yeah. I mean, when you're the busiest time in your life, you've got a new baby
right.
in your home. I mean, your house is turned upside down with a new baby, especially if it's your first.
Mm-hmm.
These are young couples with their first babies, and you got to make sure that you got bottled water in the house to mix with that baby formula. And now we've got another condition here. Bottled water doesn't come in glass anymore. It comes in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You're just told by your pediatrician to avoid giving your baby anything that's in plastic because of the poisons the plastic is given.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
So now you're going to go and buy bottled water in plastic for your baby to avoid giving him fluoride, another poison.
Right.
Now, my reason for bringing up the legalities of this are simple. First of all, we're not just talking infants here. There are other people that should not have fluoride, but do these cities that are putting it in the water, do they send out flyers home to home saying, if you're over 65, maybe you shouldn't be drinking too much of this water, if you have a history of kidney disease in your family, if you have kidney disease, by all means, do not drink it, or what about pregnant women? I mean, if it's going to have an effect on the baby, it's going to have an effect on the fetus.
Mm-hmm. For certain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's already a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
Something that a brand new infant shouldn't have, a pregnant woman shouldn't have in the last 6 months of her pregnancy. So should she be drinking bottled water too? Okay, so now we're getting to what are the rights of a Canadian citizen? Do we not have the right to go to our tap, turn the faucet, and have water that we can drink in our situation? Or is it just a right for somebody who's at a certain age and is healthy and can take the poison of fluoride?
That's a good point. Good point, because every time we buy water, we have to pay for that.
Yeah. Well, forget the cost for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about the fact that the inconvenience of having to go out and lug home water for somebody in your house. And the fact that I'm sure that these communities who are putting the fluoride in the water are not notifying pregnant women, elderly, people with chronic disease or kidney failure or even kidney disease in the family, not to drink too much of this water or any of it.
No.
No. And so, I mean, we got a double standard here, and we got our freedom is, our liberty or freedom, whatever you want to call it, our rights are being taken away for a good majority of the population. And they're not even being notified that they need to buy that water, they need to get that water, and don't take it from the tap. Then we have another situation here. Fluoride is like chlorine. The two chemicals have one thing in common. When heated, they are released in steam. So if you're taking a hot shower or a hot bath, these chemicals are airborne and released in steam, and they're ingested through the lungs, which is super dangerous.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you might be giving your baby a bath, and he would be taking a hot bath anyway, but still, he's getting the chlorine through his skin.
Mm-hmm. And so is everybody else.
And so is everybody mm-hmm. else. And mm-hmm. so is everybody else. So, I mean, really, wouldn't it be a lot easier if the government wants everybody to have access to fluoride, which would be only probably a certain age grouping where it would do any good anyway? And I'm not saying it doesn't, because if you believe it does, go get it. Go buy it. Go talk to the government about giving it to you. You're a free agent. But don't push it down somebody's throat who doesn't want it. So, I mean, if you've got 100 people out of half the town wants it and the other half of the town doesn't want it, why put it in all the water and have it flushed down the toilet every time you use the toilet? That's a big cost. That seems ridiculous to me.
It does. It is a big cost.
Yeah. And maybe Quebec is paying for these towns, but who is giving Quebec the money to pay for it? Us taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, and right now when we have such a crunch in our economy, do we want to pay for fluorine to be flushed down the toilet, used to wash clothes and to wash somebody's car and so on and so forth? A fluoride, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the need of it, do you?
No. It's not a good thing for us, so why are we paying for it?
Yeah, why are we paying for it? I really don't know what's going on, but I just think something should be done. According to the pediatricians and the dentists, they're even saying that children under 6 years of age should not be, brushing their teeth with fluoride toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't learned how to swallow effectively. And you know, to brush your teeth without swallowing and the reflux and everything.
Right.
Because I don't know if you've read a tube of toothpaste lately.
Will it kill a 25-pound child?
Yeah, well, a tube of toothpaste will kill a 25-pound child, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody said to me, well, you know, so will bleach and so will eating a pound of salt,
mm-hmm.
but you don't send your child to the bathroom with the door closed with something that tastes like bubble gum
mm-hmm.
and let them put it in their mouth and swallow it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you lock your bleach, when you have a toddler, you lock your cabinet so the child can't get to the Clorox or whatever it is in there that's dangerous. You don't give the child a tube of toothpaste. It's ridiculous. So now they are even mentioning that children under 2 should not have it at all, and a child under 6 may swallow it because he doesn't have the swallowing reflex.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know not to. You know, I mean, it's just easy. No, it just happens automatically. Like
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just constant new information coming out, and people aren't hearing it or reading it, and they don't know it existed. They're going by things that they believe when they were a child. Now, when I grew up, we didn't have fluoridated water, but we had fluoride treatments every 6 months
mm-hmm.
on our teeth. Plus, I had to brush my teeth after every single meal with fluoride toothpaste. And my parents were fanatics on it because my mother had worked as a dental hygienist.
Okay.
And I would have to leave the toothpaste on my teeth for a certain period of time, at least once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I ingested an awful lot of fluoride, and I've had health problems since. I had the worst teeth you could imagine, and I was a kid who, first of all, didn't like hard candy.
Mm-hmm.
I barely liked a piece of chocolate once in a while. I was not a candy eater at all.
Okay.
I was not into any kinds of sweets. I once in a while had a potato chip, but, I mean, I wasn't a big snack eater. Never drank soda, and even brushed my teeth after drinking milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 22 cavities by the time I was 19.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
So the fluoride wasn't helping you, that's for sure.
No, the fluoride didn't help me. And a friend just told me that, you know, her children were helped with fluoride. She was convinced of it because they had strong teeth. Well, I know the family, and I know what they ate. I know how they ate, and what quality of mother she was, which was a very good mother, who fed her family excellently. And I would give higher credit to the fact that she fed those kids good and probably made them clean their teeth after meals, and that's why they had good teeth.
Mm-hmm.
The diet, I think nine-tenths of it is diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more diet than anything.
Okay.
And we've got to take the diet. They talk about how many tooth decays there are in Quebec. I mean, we were the Pepsi capital for how long? There were jokes when I lived in Montreal. I mean, everybody joked about it because it was Pepsi and French fries or poutine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And kids just still are really into the sodas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they're doing that, I mean, why do we all have to be poisoned with fluoride in our water, we who don't want it? The towns that stopped using fluoride recently were Kamloops, B.C.,
okay.
Cobalt, Ontario,
mm-hmm.
Cranberry, Portage, Thompson and Snow Lake, Creton and Demar Beach, Manitoba.
Okay.
So there were five of them in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin, as of 2009, stopped putting fluoride in their water.
Austin?
In Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah.
2009?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, those are just nine towns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go and find a lot more.
Okay.
And if you really want to do a great search, you can go worldwide and see the protests all across the world on this. I mean, there's quite a lot of places that are really fighting it. And now Gatineau's in a big fight about it.
That's right.
And they're really doing a lot of their homework. And in fact, that website I just told you about, where all that great information is, they have a new article all about Gatineau, Quebec, and their fight and how they're proceeding. They're keeping track of it on that international website.
Okay.
So this website is really on top of things.
Mm-hmm.
They want to put it in. And the mayor is, he was on CBC,
mm-hmm.
and, oh, I just about lost it listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
He went on quoting how, oh, wow, that this approves it, that approves it, this approves it. And the other one, the woman who's heading one of the groups there, got on and said that the new findings, the new European findings, there's thousands of professionals that are working against this. And he's, oh, no, 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 you don't know what you're talking about. Well, this Fluoride Action Network that I gave you the web address, they have a whole story about Gatineau there you can go and read, and
mm-hmm.
it's really informative.
Okay.
But, yes, the old story is it was good for your teeth. The new story is let us have a choice.
Mm-hmm. I like that, the old story versus the new story.
Yeah, I think we need to have a choice nowadays, eh?
I think a lot of people felt that they had put fluoride in the water as a purification means.
I don't know if they thought that, but it wasn't correct.
No.
It wasn't correct at all. And it had nothing to do with purification.
Mm-hmm.
As you go to that website I told you about, too, you'll find a list here of 2,700 professionals who are calling for an end to fluoridation in drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And the names are from all over the world, Sweden, Poland, Argentina, every place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a great list of professionals there. But the thing I really want to encourage places like Gatineau and other cities, who especially ones who already have fluoride water, find people who have small children that have to buy their water. And get a hold of a good environmental attorney and get together and file a class action suit against the town, because you're not being treated equally with your next-door neighbor. If you have to leave your house, drive your car, and go to a store to buy water when you're paying a water tax to have it pumped into your house, you're not being treated equally.
No.
So this would give you an opening. Once there's a class action suit against one city and a city has to pay for this and faces consequences for it and is ordered by the courts to either supply water to the homes of those who don't want the fluoride or stop fluorinating the water, other cities will back down, because they don't want this type of fine.
Mm-hmm.
So the first door opener to stopping this would be filing a lawsuit and making sure that some town pays for what they're the rights they're taking away. And either has to, wouldn't it be so much easier if the government would say, okay, the families who need the fluoride, according to what we believe, well, go to the pharmacist, pick up your bottle once a month, put it so much drops in your water, and your kids will be protected.
Mm-hmm.
The elderly don't have to worry about taking it. The sick don't have to worry about taking it. The pregnant ladies don't have to worry about taking it. And we don't have to get special water for the baby formulas.
No.
There's no mm-hmm. such thing as justice anymore. It seems like we have to have it all shoved down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start talking about it, some people come after you and say, well, it's Anna Mae Kenney's idea. It's not my idea. I was only reporting in my last article what was going on across Canada and what they were using as an argument for not fluoridating their water and the references that were given in their groups and so on. And I don't have the credentials to understand all the things that I should understand about this, but I'm doing my best. So I have to depend on the experts that are on both sides. And there's a dividing line. You got experts in medicine that are for it and against it. You got experts in dentistry that are for it and against it. And you've got people with great PhDs in the environment and other movements and all that are for it and against it. So there's two sides. You have to decide which side you're going to be on and if you want it for yourself. And there's no reason, if you do want it, that you shouldn't be able to have it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. If you want it, I'll even pay my tax dollars so you can have it. But it doesn't have to be put in the water. You can do it yourself. Your comment, Maureen?
No, I agree with you. It's something that we should have a choice on. Yeah.
When you stop to think that, this stuff has the same chemical. Just think about, they're always talking about how dumbed down everybody is lately, you know,
right.
And how kids don't learn like they used to learn in school, and they don't pick up things, and they don't retain them, and so on and so forth. Well, if it's got the same ingredient as Prozac and sarin nerve gas in it, it's no wonder the Nazis used it to calm people down and to keep people docile.
Mm-hmm. What concerns me, too, is that once you're exposed to fluoride, it seems to affect you forever after.
From what I'm seeing, there's a long-term effect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my I've had thyroid problems my entire life,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know it had anything to do with fluoride. You're told that it has to do with different things, and that they don't never the lack of iodine. And I've been taking iodine since I was about 15.
Okay.
And but I didn't know about the fluoride. Well, from reading what the research of that one doctor, the little bit I did read in South Africa, where he came upon the natural fluorine gas mm-hmm. in the water that would get in the water, which was the process would be a sodium fluoride that
right.
would result mm-hmm. from this poisoning. It was causing all kinds of thyroid problems, and his research went right into thyroid. And the conclusion that they drew from what I've read so far of that piece is that iodine isn't, the lack of iodine is not the biggest causer of thyroid problems. It is the fluoride. And now, this is really ironic, because they've had fluoride in the water for 45 to 50 years in the United States. Now listen to this.
That's a long time, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are turning 50 now, that's 50 years since it started,
right,
are suddenly showing up with a rash, almost an epidemic of thyroid problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just had that in the paper, that Canada and the U.S. is facing an epidemic of thyroid problems. Well, I'm not saying the fluoride's causing it. What is causing the sudden rash of thyroid problems? We have iodized salt, and if anything, we're eating too much salt,
mm-hmm,
because
right.
they're saying mm-hmm. that Canadians eat too much salt. They got to cut back. They're getting high blood pressure.
Right.
So, I mean, there shouldn't be a shortage of iodine in our bodies. Our salt's iodized.
No, no.
So something else is causing the thyroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this research is amazing, and I'm hoping that you'll interview this other lady, and she can explain more of that. And also, Helen, who I wanted you to talk to, she is marvelous. She's worked against fluoridation for years, and she's also worked in Quebec and knows a lot about the cities that have stopped and that are stopping, a lot more than I do, actually, and she'd be a great guest. Is there anything that I left out that you wanted to hear about? I'm just trying to
Well,
think.
It's just, okay, fine. It's good for people to get a group and work, you know, politically against the city about having the fluoride removed from the water if you're living in a city that already does have that in the water. But what to do now? Are there any special types of purification systems exactly?
Yeah, you can get reverse osmosis filters.
Okay.
Filtration systems, but they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There is one that they sell in the States called a Berkey, and it takes out 99.9% of fluoride. And the thing is, basically, I think the way to go about it is to, if you, like Gatineau, if anybody from Gatineau is listening to this,
mm-hmm.
I'd say find people that are going to be willing to threaten a lawsuit immediately if the city does not supply them with fresh drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people that are really going to, people who may be diabetic or have kidney problems, or the older people with other types of health problems, pregnant women in your area or in your group, because they already have a very good group set up. Maybe they need somebody to form another group inside the group of people willing to file a class action suit before this goes through.
Right, okay.
And say, well, okay, if you're going to put this in the water, then we're ready to file this suit, and we want you to bring us water, and we want you to bring us water that's not in plastic,
because
we don't want another chemical replacing the fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of considerations to be brought in here. And I think that's the only way that cities will be able to put a stop to be having this forced on them is if they stand up together and they don't just separate themselves and say, it's not happening in my city, so I'm not going to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the article not to change people's minds about fluoride, like I said, to open their eyes and to investigate and to realize that your neighbor is fighting something. Find out what they're fighting. Find out why they're fighting it. And if you see that it's a worthy cause, don't just say, oh, I hope they win. Get out there and do something to help them win it.
Mm-hmm. To be active not only in our own communities, but in the communities of our friends and neighbors, too.
There's a joke in some parts of the states with some groups of people. When people are passive too much and they don't take, you know, help their neighbors and they don't take action mm-hmm. to do something, they ask them if they're drinking too much fluoridated water. I mean, it's quite, the movement is quite big in certain parts of the world, and people openly talk about it and joke about the fact that it's a dumbing down effect that the fluoride has on you.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any statistics on about how many communities here in the townships have fluoridated water?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But Helen would know that a lot better than I would.
Okay.
Because I've been against fluoride for a long time, but I just got involved with the Gatineau problem
mm-hmm.
recently,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know it was as bad as it is. And I think that they want all the water. Well, according to Quebec, they want all the water fluoridated.
Mm-hmm.
They want it all fluoridated. Mm-hmm. They want to follow the UN mandate and fluoridate everything because that's what the UN told them to do.
Okay.
And they say it would save dental problems and so on. But it doesn't, really. I mean, when you compare the towns that have had fluoridated water with the ones who haven't, there isn't that much of a difference. There's more of a difference between affluent groups of people and poor groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to find the biggest difference in tooth decay. People who can afford to eat right and people who can't afford. It's not anything to do with the poor neglecting their children. It's got nothing to do with neglect. It's got to do with not having enough money to buy what is necessary to feed properly.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. It makes so much sense.
I mean, I'm so sick of people pointing a finger at poor women and saying, well, she's stupid, she's uneducated, she's not taking care of her kids. That's true. These women love their kids just as much, and many of them are great mothers. And they'll go hungry and feed their kids first. But many of them, it's a box of macaroni and cheese or no heat that month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really getting pretty critical, and people who have a paycheck coming in don't realize how low people have to live just to get by.
No, I don't think people do realize, and definitely the saddest group in our society is the mothers, the single mothers.
Yes.
Are low income than
yes.
our children. Yeah.
Yeah. Single mothers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not fair to our society. I mean, if our society really wants to help, I have another suggestion for our government. Pay women to stay home and take care of their children until a certain age. Pay the first years are the most formative. They learn more the first years when they're with their mothers than they do being dumped in a daycare. And if women got a salary to stay home with their kids, the whole society would be better off.
It's a matter of choice, yeah. They should have the choice, yeah.
Yeah, that's just it. They don't have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women would rather stay home with their children.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't the choice.
No.
And, you know, really, they say there's no test for parenthood. You just become a parent. Well, maybe we need a little bit of control here. I mean, not control, but if you want to have children, one parent stays home, just one parent part of the time, and they can take turns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You work a few years, you stay home a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won't have this daycare syndrome, and we won't have all these other problems. Because today's children aren't growing up the way they used to, because parents just don't have the time.
No.
And if a woman was able to, a parent, whichever parent it was, maybe it's a single father that wants to stay home with the kids when their first formative years, the first 3-4 years of their lives, let him have a salary. Let him have the same conditions to stay home and be caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need more cooperation.
Definitely, because, again, it takes a community to raise a community and children, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I am against fluoridated water because I don't want it. And I think that if you're out there and you want fluoride, enjoy your toothpaste and go to the pharmacist, get tablets or drops, put it in your water, and enjoy drinking it. If you think that's going to help you, fine. Just don't shove it down my throat,
mm-hmm.
or people who don't want it.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of having a choice, and I think our water should be one of our choices.
Our water should be our first choice, because
mm-hmm.
our water happens to be more important than our food. Now, listen to our Health Canada telling us, we're eating too much salt, we're eating too much fat, we're eating too much junk food, we're eating too much this, we want to restrict. Water is more important than any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody had 8 glasses of water a day, which they're not counting on,
no,
you're going to get quite a lot of fluoride.
You would, yes, if you drank it from the tap and lived in a region
yeah.
where they fluoridated the water.
I got to tell you a little story real quick. It was in the 1970s, and I was married to my first husband,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Toronto on business trips for his business at
right.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, we stayed in a nice motel for maybe a month at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting sick. I started throwing up every day. And, it was really, after about 2 weeks, about a week, and I started throwing up, and I didn't know what was going on. So I went to the pharmacist, and I said, well, this is really weird, because I eat good, and I eat yogurt all the time, and
right.
I was on a health food diet.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's the water. He says, you're allergic to fluoride, aren't you? He says, there's fluoride in our water.
Okay.
He says, you got to buy bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
So all the while I was in Toronto, as soon as I switched to the bottled water, within 2 days I was okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
But was I
mm-hmm.
sick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was I sick. It was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same reaction to chlorinated water.
Mm-hmm. Because they are similar, like you say. Yeah.
Well, they are both chemicals that should not be in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's modern way of filtration that is offered, there's all kinds of different ways of filtering water for towns.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I'm trying to think of the name of it. But they use lights and, all kinds of modern methods. You run it through different filtering systems, and you can filter out the bacteria that way. And you won't have to put any chlorine in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're still putting chlorine in water.
Okay, interesting. So we're getting chlorine and fluoride, too, I guess, in some
yeah.
of the municipalities.
And, but the one thing, the chlorine is not that hard to get out of the water for
mm-hmm.
drinking.
Okay.
I mean, if you let it evaporate, but you're leaving it to sit on the counter evaporating and getting bacteria in it while it's evaporating.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it does evaporate out.
Okay, that might be okay for an aquarium, but not necessarily for people drinking it.
It will evaporate out,
mm-hmm.
even for drinking it. But the thing is, what you're getting in your lungs is
right.
the most deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the bath water, it is, it's really, really bad. Even when you wash your clothes, it's not the act of washing your clothes and breathing in the water because you've got the lid closed to your washing machine, but it dries like a powder.
Okay.
On your clothes,
mm-hmm.
and inhaling it after you've got the clothes on you, you're inhaling it all day long as you're wearing the clothes.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing as using Javex in the laundry.
It's deadly.
Yeah, okay.
It's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I just hope people just get active and reach out to your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
and let's start being a community in Quebec and not little communities separated.
Right. Mm-hmm. Working together. Yeah.
Working together
mm-hmm.
to fight these things, especially with the new tax rates that are going up. They're doing them in such a way that they don't retax communities like, say, Cookshire and Barrie would not be had their taxes increased the same year. They'll do them 2 or 3 years apart so the people don't team up and fight together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that by MRC.
Okay.
And that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to realize when our turn comes, nobody's going to be there to help us because we weren't there to help them.
Right, right.
So I think our attitudes better start changing right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a good point.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Okay. This is CJMQ, and we thank you, Anna Mae.
Thank you.
Just hold on. Before we go any farther, I want to take a little moment to talk about water. That liquid that you're holding, that bottle in your hand, you thought it was water you were drinking, not a corporate brand. You thought it was cleaner and safer and better for your health, but were you thinking about who profits from the wealth of the public water that's been taken for free and then sold back to you for an exorbitant fee? Listen, my friends. Listen up, folks. Aquafina is Pepsi. Dasani is Coke. They're selling filtered tap water. This is not a joke. These corporate giants buy public water at a tax-free super discount. Filter it 5 times, then sell it back to you for 5,000 times the amount that you pay for running water from your tap. And when I start to think about that, my blood starts to boil, my head starts to spin as I try to understand where to begin. That H2O, the bottle you just tossed, it represents garbage, safety and cost, water table depletion, which is all of our loss. Let's talk about landfill, plastic bottles piled high, slowly decomposing, leaching toxins back into our water supply. Furthermore, the more bottles we buy, the more we send a signal to the powers that be that we believe the fear they're selling us about water safety, the fear they're selling us about water safety. We're swallowing the idea that good water isn't free. That, of course, one must pay for water of quality. Meanwhile, beyond the periphery of our rich country, where, incidentally, tap water is actually tested far more stringently and regularly than bottled water. Elsewhere, women walk farther and farther to find water for their families. A desert spreading rapidly while we sit sipping on a $1 billion industry. They say water is the new oil. Water is the new oil, and Canada's got it, so this war will come to our soil. But oil is a luxury, water a necessity. We're fighting over oil because we like to drive cars, because trucks must deliver, because we want to fly to Mars. But a body can only live without water for so long. Water should not belong to anyone. Water belongs to everyone. Water must be public. Water must be free. Clean water should not be a commodity to be bought and sold on the open market, which pits those who can afford it against those in need. Water is a human right, not a luxury. Water is a human right, not a luxury. Think about what you drink. Think about what you drink. Let's talk about China. Let's talk about India. Let's talk about Africa and here in North America. Let's talk about watersheds and aquifers. Let's talk about Walkerton and native reserves. This matter is urgent. It requires our attention. It demands immediate public intervention. If we're going to be paying, it should be for water from our tap, ensuring it remains reliable, clean, and safe, so that we can take a container, fill it again and again, fill our bodies with the water we need, and then leave enough for our neighbors, enough for the farmers, enough for the future, our sons and our daughters. It's the blood of the earth in that bottle right there, a resource we have no choice but to share. Before you buy another bottle and down what's in there, you gotta think about what you drink. 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 Maybe I'm preaching to the choir, to the converted masses, to the concerned and the conscious, the educated classes. But you out there, who already know everything I've said, how many times is convenience went out instead? But what you know is right, and what you know you should do. You know, ignoring the facts doesn't make them less true. Ignoring the facts doesn't make them less true. You gotta think about what you drink. 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 Tell your friend, tell your neighbor, write a letter to your leader. It is never true that there is nothing you can do. Think about what you drink. Think about what you drink. Water must be public. Water must be free. Water is a human right, not a luxury. Clean water is a human right, not a luxury. Think about what you drink. Think about what you drink. Think about what you drink. Think about what you drink.